Father, we are standing in your presence as privileged people to be around you and to be in you. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity that you are giving us to worship you, to just lay our hearts and lives before you. Father, we pray that you take over this particular moment. You will be the one speaking to each and every one of us, including myself. Father, do not let us leave this place just as we came. I pray that you make this moment memorable, life-changing to me and to my brothers and sisters. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We may be seated. Good morning, brothers and sisters. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We want to share God's word, and I would like to invite you to open your Bible with me in Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, I'm going to do the reading from verse 1 to verse 6, verse 16. Acts chapter 9. This is what the Bible says. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that he would found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street, and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come, place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel." Verse 16, I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. This is God's word. Apostle Paul's encounter with Jesus and the power of restoration. That's the topic for this morning meditation. Between 1965 and 1997, this country was led by a powerful man called Mobutu. And around the 90s, there was a growing pressure from the population from different social groups asking and calling for political reforms in the country. So the President Mobutu decided to meet with different social groups, including students, teachers, medical personnels, people from all walks of life. He decided to meet with them, and my mother happened to be part of the delegation that had to meet with President Mobutu on his boat floating on the river Zaire. And that encounter meant a lot for us in our home. You know, Mobutu was a very charismatic man, very powerful man. He led the country for 32 years. He was a charming man. And so for us in the house, we were expecting a lot from that encounter of my mother and her colleagues with President Mobutu. And I remember when my mother came home, when she came back from that encounter with President Mobutu, she had a lot to tell us. So many details. So we were asking him, really, did you meet him? Did you shake his hand? How is it? How tall he is? How does he speak? What kind of food did you eat? What did you discuss about? How is his boat? How does his boat look like? We wanted all the details. And my mother was telling us every single thing. Every details, just like women love details, right? So she had all the details. But one thing I remember, and I will never forget, from that meeting, there was a before in our house and an after. Our house changed dramatically. I remember my mother came with a lot of food supplies. She brought it with a car. There was a lot of food in the house, a lot. So we asked her, so everybody got the same amount of food? Yes, she said yes. It was amazing. So you see, brothers and sisters, not all encounters are equal. There are people you will meet and life goes on. But there are people you will meet and your life changes forever. There are people you will meet and they leave you with a lasting impression. Memories that will affect your life and you will keep remembering them for the rest of your life, whether you like it or not. And let me ask you a question. What is your most memorable encounter? Each and every one of us has experienced an encounter with someone in his life. Maybe for you, it's your wife or your husband or your favorite celebrity. Or maybe it's your boss, a friend. What's your most memorable encounter? This is a man that the Apostle Paul encountered on the road to Damascus. This man is uncommon. The man called Jesus of Nazareth. Hallelujah. He's unlike the President Mobutu. This is a powerful man, charismatic, more charismatic than any leader who has ever walked on this earth. A man whose words and deeds has changed and has left nobody unmoved. Everybody who came in contact with Jesus Christ was left with something. Everybody. When you read the Gospels, the Acts, and the rest of the books of the Bible, anybody who came to meet with the Lord Jesus Christ was not left the same. So my question for you this morning, have you met the man of Nazareth, the man of Galilee? I'm not asking you if you've heard about him. I'm asking you if you have actually met him. Because he's alive. He's not dead. Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. Jesus is alive. The same way he encountered, the Apostle Paul encountered him, he's still encountering people today. Hallelujah. Have you had an encounter with him? So when you look at the encounters that Jesus had with people, when you read the gospel, Jesus met a lot of people, different types of people. And when you consider all the encounters that Jesus had with people, you can notice at least three types of encounters. And I want to share that with you. The first type of encounter that Jesus had with people, I call it fleeting impressions. Fleeting impressions. Those are the kind of encounters that Jesus had with people. Brief encounters. Encounters that happened with people who were just curious about Jesus. They wanted to see him. They heard about him. And they wanted to see him, to experience, to witness what they had heard about him. They wanted to see him perform miracles. They wanted to hear his words, because his words were powerful, full of wisdom. Hallelujah. So when you have this type of encounter that we call fleeting impressions, you listen to God's words, the words of Jesus. You even witness his actions and deeds. And you're amazed. Because he's amazing. This kind of encounter leaves you with a lasting impression of who Jesus is. But the problem is that when you encounter Jesus just like that, everything just stops there. You've heard him, wonderful words, marvelous deeds. You witness his greatness, his power, but it just stops there. You return to your ordinary life. There is no transformation. There's no commitment to following him or to becoming a disciple after this kind of encounter. One of the examples of this encounter is the one that the governor Herod had with Jesus. We see it in Luke chapter 23, verse 8. This is what the Bible says. When Herod saw Jesus, the Bible says he was greatly pleased. Hallelujah. He was not Jesus' friend. No, he was not his disciple. But he had heard about Jesus. The Bible says, for a long time, he had been wanting to see him. He wanted to see Jesus for a long time. From what he heard about him, he hoped, says the Bible, to see him perform signs of some sort. He plied him with many questions. So he had questions. Just like you and I. We have questions. We have things that we want to understand. Existential questions. And all other kinds of questions. So Herod had the same preoccupation. Oh, this is a wise man. So powerful.
And now I have the opportunity to come in touch with him. Let me hear myself. And let me see with my own eyes. To see if really what I've heard about him is true. The second example of this kind of encounter is the rich young ruler. The Bible talks about him in Matthew chapter 19, verse 16. The Bible says this, just then a man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good things must I do to get eternal life?" 21, Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go, sell your possessions, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then, come, follow me." Same thing here. The man has probably heard about Jesus. He was rich. He had his life figured out. He did not have a problem. He did not have insecurities, financial insecurities. No. He was a successful man. Yet, he wanted to see Jesus. So Jesus gives him the conditions to earn eternal life. Be perfect. And he asks him to sell everything. In fact, Jesus wanted to show him that you are not perfect. You cannot be perfect because you are still worshiping your riches. Hallelujah. You are actually sinning against the first commandment. You shall have no other God but me. That is why this man had a tough time obeying these commandments, to sell everything. That means I'm going. So to follow this man, I have to stop relying on my wealth, the fruit of my work, and just depend on a man? Didn't sound good in his head. Hallelujah. Verse 22 of Matthew 19, the Bible says, when the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Hallelujah. He came in touch with the true Jesus. The true Jesus. He met with him face to face, the Son of the living God. How many of us want to see Jesus face to face? Hallelujah. This man saw him face to face. But the Bible says, after seeing Jesus, he went back sad. He did not want to follow him. No, no. Hallelujah. Fleeting impressions. You meet with the Lord, you come in touch with his words, you witness his words and deeds, but yet you fail to commit to follow him. Why? Because it's too costly. The second type of encounter, I call it miraculous moments. Miraculous moments. This is the kind of encounter that you have with Jesus, and you experience his divine intervention in your life. You see him at work, not in other people's lives, but in your own life. You see him, you experience him, you receive things from him. And as a result of your encounter with him, your life experiences great improvements. Improvements in your physical being. You are healed. Improvement in your economic status or financial situation. You experience financial prosperity. Hallelujah. You've been praying for that job, for that business deal. You call for Jesus. I want to see you. I want to experience you. And the Lord comes. He steps in into your situation. And you witness his intervention. You know it is not by chance. You know it is Jesus who came in contact with you. Hallelujah. You know it. But all of these good things, all of these blessings, just keep you around his presence. It keeps you in the crowd. Wherever you hear about Jesus, you join in. You want to be there around him. Why? Because you know. You know what he's capable of doing. Hallelujah. Miraculous moment. But the challenge and the problem with this kind of encounter, just like the previous one, this encounter is not followed by any transformation of your heart. Yeah. You keep on living your life with the same purposes that you had before you met him. You see? You still pursue the same goals, the same things, just like non-believers. They want to see Jesus. They want to eat bread. They want healing. They want a move from God. They are faced with situations where their mind, their intelligence, their money, their relationship is limited. They face limitations because, brothers and sisters, no matter how wealthy you are, no matter how smart and wise you are, one day or another, you will face limitations. And you'll realize, Jesus, I need you. Has everyone experienced that? Yeah. Jesus, I need you. And the Lord, because he's loving and merciful, when we call on his name, when we call upon his name, he comes. Because he's a God who answers prayers. So as a result of this encounter, you love Jesus. You experience his loving intervention in your life. It leaves you with good memories about him, with testimonies. You love him. But let me put it this way. You love how he makes you feel. That's what you love about him. You love how he makes you feel. You know that when I'm around him, I have nothing to fear. Hallelujah. I'm on solid ground. I'm secure. So you love him. Your love for him is beneficial. It's transactional. It is not sacrificial. That's the kind of love. You love him because you are on the receiving side of the relationship with him. You are on the receiving side. So you love everything that he makes you feel. And one of the examples of this kind of encounters is the one that the crowds had with Jesus. In John chapter 6, verse 14, this is what the Bible says. Let's read it. It's very interesting. John 6, 14. After the people saw the signs Jesus performed, after they saw the signs, these people, what is the sign they saw? Jesus multiplied bread. 5,000 people were fed by Jesus. 5,000. We have never reached 5,000 in a service, in a single service here. It has never happened. But 5,000 people ate bread from Jesus. Not bread bought from the market. Bread that was multiplied just by a single prayer of thanksgiving. Hallelujah. After they saw the sign Jesus performed, the Bible says they began to say, "Surely, surely, this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Hallelujah. So they believe in him because they ate the bread. This is a prophet. So it's just like, it's another way to say, you give Jesus, you recognize Jesus for who he is because he has intervened in your life. Hallelujah. Yes. It's called praise, in other words. So they praised him. Verse 22, the Bible says, the next day after eating the bread, the next day, the crowd that had stayed on the opposite shore of the lake realized that only one boat had been there and that Jesus had not entered with his disciples, but that they had gone away alone. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boat and went to Capernaum in search for Jesus. Hallelujah. After they saw, they began to look for him. 25, when they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here? When? We were looking for you." 26, Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, you are not looking for me. You are not looking for me. You are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you did what? You ate the loaves and you filled. That's why you're looking for me." Jesus is not fooled by the crowd. He knows the heart of man. And 27, he says, "Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life." Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Why are you looking for an encounter with Jesus this morning? Why do you want to see him? Why? Jesus knows. He knows even before you speak. He knows. Why are you looking for him? Are you looking for him just to be satisfied? The good news is there is bread in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. There is enough bread for everyone in the house of the Lord. But that is not God's ultimate purpose for you and me. Hallelujah. That is not the ultimate purpose. The ultimate purpose of our encounter, our relationship with Jesus, is not to eat the good bread and to feel satisfied with our earthly lives, to just feel, to get married, to travel, to have a name, to get a degree, to be successful in our businesses. All those things are good things, blessings that God does gives. And he says, a lot of them are available in my presence. You can have them. In fact, there's a proof. I gave them to more, to crowds. Anybody can have it. But this is for the crowds. Hallelujah. If you're in the crowd, you can have it. If you're around him, you can have it. Your healing, your job, your marriage, whatever you want, you can have it. Because Jesus is not in crisis. Hallelujah. Jesus is never in crisis. There is abundance of joy in his presence. Hallelujah. But that's not the ultimate purpose of your encounter with him. So the third type of encounter, I call it inner explosion. Inner explosion. Because this is an encounter that changes everything in your life, brothers and sisters. It changes your worldview. It changes your life purpose. It changes your heart. It does not just improve your life. It explodes your life. It replaces the life that you had with the new life that Jesus has for you. But this explosion, this inner explosion, requires that you die. You die to your old life. And only when you are dead to your own life, then you can experience the power of resurrection. Hallelujah. This is a kind of encounter which comes with a loss. You will lose. You will lose something. You will lose something valuable. You will lose it. And Jesus knows it. And when Paul encountered with Jesus, Jesus was so transparent. He did not hide from Paul what he's going to lose. The Bible says in Acts chapter 9, verse 16 that we read, Jesus says, I will show him not what he will get from me, but what he will suffer because of my name. Hallelujah. Because that death is very important. You die to yourself. You lose control. You find yourself with new affections, a new life purpose, new desires, a new mind. And your mind becomes set on the things from above. This is what happens. Brothers and sisters, when you experience this explosion, whatever is gain for the unbelievers from the world, whatever the world exalts and values, becomes a loss, a garbage for you. The Apostle Paul says it very well in Philippians chapter 3, verse 5. That's where we are going to end our meditation. Philippians chapter 3, verse 5. He says this. This is the Apostle Paul. I was circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrew. He's giving his identity, the identity that he was proud of. In regards to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness based on the law, faultless. He says, I was faultless. In my own eyes, I was perfect. But whatever were gains for me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. Hallelujah. Loss. Not gain, loss. What is more, I consider everything a loss. Why? Because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For whose sake I have lost what? Everything. That's why we call it explosion. What kind of encounter have you had with Jesus? What have you lost? And if you have lost something, this morning we are preaching the God of restoration. Don't complain for what you have lost because of his name. Worship. Hallelujah. Worship him. Because worship is basically a sacrifice. Hallelujah. What kind of encounter have you had with the Lord? Can we stand up and pray? Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We come before you in the name of Jesus. Jesus, we know we've heard about you. We've seen you at work in the lives of many people. We have seen you at work in our own lives. But this morning, we want to experience an explosion. We want to experience a life-changing encounter with you. Take my life, Lord, and let it be as you want. If that is your prayer, brothers and sisters, don't hesitate. Say it in your own words. And if you feel like you've lost something, just utter words of worship before him and say, Father, I've given myself away. I'm not going to complain for the things that I've lost. I'm not going to fear to lose anything because of you. I'm going to worship you, and I worship you this morning. In the name of Jesus. Amen. And the Lord bless you.